Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We got a program lined up today that has some needed information, a lot of stuff going on in the world, and of course, everybody's talking about the shooting in Florida, and certainly our prayers continue to go out to people there, and a lot of people struggling with that, but there's other things that are happening in the world around us that we don't want to lose sight of, and so today we've got a special program we're going to be looking at, as we have on occasion in the past. We're going to be looking at the threat of Islamization in America, and the concern that we ought to have as Christians. And so we're going to be joined with a couple of guests here on the radio here this afternoon. But let me mention a couple things real quick before we get into our program. Just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can also learn more about me, more about the program, and connect to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can also link to our Facebook page. Let me encourage you to go to facebook.com/livewithpastoral as well, and you can even watch the program as we're airing the program. We're on live right now on Facebook Live at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Well, we're going to get into our program here this afternoon, and I am joined, of course, with on the telephone, Debbie Anderson of Minnesota. She's Minnesota's top grassroots counter-jihadist and activist and head of ACT for Minnesota. And I'm also joined with another gentleman, no stranger to the program, Dan Ramada, and he's director of Ohio, ACT for Ohio. And Debbie Anderson is going to be speaking at the ACT meeting in Broadview Heights coming up this Sunday. And Dan will give you some more information on that here in just a minute. But Debbie Anderson, welcome to the program today.
Thank you very much, Pastor Davis, and hello to everybody out on the East Coast.
Well, and the Midwest here. We call ourselves the North Coast, actually, being here on the shores of Lake Erie.
Okay.
But we're glad to have you with us today. And let me introduce Dan here real quick, too. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's good to be back again.
And so glad to have the opportunity to have the both of you on today. And before I get into the conversation with Debbie Anderson talking about the threat of the Islamization of America and starting in Minnesota, spreading to the Midwest, Dan, could you give us an update on ACT for Ohio and the meeting coming up this Sunday, how people can find out more about
it? Absolutely. If you'll recall, we had last month, we had Dick Manasseri, who's a very similar role that Debbie and I have. He's an activist up in Detroit and very concerned about what's going on with the Sharia in Michigan. So we've decided to have a three-part series of meetings, January, February, and March. We actually will be doing this all year, but this particular 3 months, we're focusing on Sharia in Michigan last month, this month Sharia in Minnesota, next month Sharia in Florida. All three states have people like Debbie and myself that we're all involved. We all work together, share information, help bring speakers in, connect with a lot of the speakers you've met and talked with over the years. I'm trying to further educate the citizens of Northeast Ohio and really all of Ohio at this point about how the country is being Islamicized very slowly, gradually, done by the Muslim Brotherhood, and in some states much more rapidly than what we might see here. So some people in Ohio might say, oh, you're crazy. And then this is why we bring in people like Debbie or Dick, and next month Tom Trento, and then the other. We'll be focusing all year long on this type of education. But the meeting is in Broadview Heights, and the only way to get there or become involved, get to the meeting, you have to email me first. And that email address is info@act, A-C-T, the word for, F-O-R, and then Ohio.org, info@actforohio.org. It's going to be at 2 o'clock. It goes to about 4:30, and you will not be sorry if you join us.
And I appreciate that. And that was actforohio.org, info@actforohio.org for more information.
Right.
And if they want to go online, what was your webpage again?
It would be actforohio.org.
All right. Very easy to see. Very understandable. They can learn more about the organization there as well. But if they want to attend the meeting or any future meeting, of course, they need to email you at info@actforamerica.org. And so I appreciate that, Dan. And we'll, I'm sure, have you back on in the future talking about some more of these things. But I want to get over to Debbie Anderson right now. And Debbie Anderson, could you give us a little background on yourself before we, how you came to become active in this before we get into some other specific things? But I'm sure our listeners would be curious how, you know, you got interested in this and how you became active in this.
Sure. I wasn't involved in politics in any way, shape, or form. I was born in the mid-50s in what I call the afterglow of World War II, when the Greatest Generation defeated Nazi tyranny, and I was fortunate enough to grow up in Minnesota with unprecedented security, and that gave us the freedom to, and, you know, the American dream was unlimited. But unfortunately, we forfeited. I grew up in a family that did not participate in the duties and responsibilities of self-governance. We were just focused on the pursuit of happiness, you know, in this unprecedented security that the Greatest Generation ever gave us. And so I was just busy with my pursuits of happiness. I bought a cute little house in Northeast Minneapolis, knowing that there was an air business district just 2 miles south of me. But I believed in the popular but false narrative that they were not different from my ancestors that migrated to America. But shortly after I moved in, another mosque was proposed in my neighborhood, and something about it just brought a disquiet to my spirit that I didn't understand, because I didn't understand this thing called Islam. On the one hand, we saw the devastation, the horror of the 9/11, but yet it was only 6 days later that our president came out and said this wasn't the true face of Islam. Islam is a religion of peace. Well, there's a polarity there in my Midwestern frame of mind, rational, logical frame of mind, that I just couldn't reconcile. So here it was, you know, in my backyard, so to speak. So I sat down on my computer with a resolve to decide to research this thing until I knew in my head and my heart whether I should be concerned about a mosque in my neighborhood or not. And what I learned was just simply shocking, outrageous. And I learned that Islamic doctrine, not all Muslims, but Islamic doctrine is a direct threat to the Judeo-Christian principles that America was founded on, and to all that I love and cherish, to our celestial freedoms. It is a direct threat to that. And once I began to realize that, I just recall leaning back in my office chair, wondering what in the world I could do to protect my children's future from this horrific ideology. And because at the time, there wasn't a single soul in my day-to-day world that knew what I had learned. And so I started an Act for America chapter in Minneapolis and started hosting meetings, reaching out to people, building networks, assisting hurting communities. In the process, I met Michelle Bachmann, and she opened up the doors to the A-Team in national security. So I've had the great honor, privilege, and pleasure of creating itineraries and bringing Phil Haney, Stephen Coughlin, John Guandolo, Claire Lopez. We've circumvented the captured government here in Minnesota. We circumvented the mainstream media. We circumvented the captured churches. And we brought truth directly to the folks. And as a result now, we have activism growing throughout the entire state of Minnesota, and in fact across the upper Midwest. We've gone as far as the Dakotas, Bismarck, North Dakota, and other areas in North and South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and even Nebraska, trying to get the truth about this threat directly to the folks. And again, they care, the folks. Debbie the nurse and Joe the plumber care deeply about the kind of world that we pass on to our children. So we still have grave challenges. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but the work has begun.
Well, I appreciate that. And when we talk about the work that's begun, and it is a time where I wish we had a whole hour here rather than just a half hour, because there's so much information and so much that's going on. And I know that you've been doing this for a while. And when we look at what's happening with the threat of Sharia and what's happening with these various groups that are coming in, you know, of course, a lot of people are going to say, well, you're in Minnesota and you're talking about some things happening in Minnesota and some of the surrounding areas up there. But down here, just south of Cleveland, Ohio, how does this affect us?
Unfortunately, as Michelle Bachman has said, Minneapolis, maybe just let me back up. We've become an epicenter of jihadi recruitment and training. We're raising the next jihadi generation. And we've also become a distribution center for Muslim refugees. And that's why the upper Midwest should be concerned about what's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If I may just say that in 1992 is when Lutheran Social Services and Catholic Charities first started importing Somalis from Somalia. And it's well known that Minnesota has the largest population of Somalis outside of Somalia. But what most people don't stop to really think about is that Somalia is an Islamic state ruled by Sharia, mm-hmm. and that it is the home of several of the worst terrorist organizations such as Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. So now in Minnesota, we have the most recent estimates I've heard are up to 200,000 Somalis in Minnesota. That's a large army. And right. we already know that many of these lost boys, you know, have already, you know, left Minnesota. They're the second generation now of Somalis in Minnesota. So we are raising the next generation of jihadis. And many of them are going back and forth to the Middle East to wage jihad over there. But, you know, they're coming back trained. And we're having growing incidences of stabbings. We just recently had an unfortunate woman just walking home after work. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. in the evening, just walking home from work. And she was stabbed 14 times by a jihadi. And, and then, of course, we've had a woman shot point-blank range. She, unarmed woman in her pajamas, thought she had heard a rape occurring in her alley, called the police for help. Well, the Somali policeman... it was like almost instantly just shot her in the abdomen and killed her.
I remember that story happened. Yes.
Yeah. Thus far, he's refused to be interviewed, and it's only taken, it's taken pressure from Minnesotans to, get, him to be charged. I believe a grand jury has been called forth, but this is 7 months after it's right. happening, which is really appalling.
Well, and even for us here in Ohio, it wasn't that long ago that we had a couple, we've had some incidences with a Somali community down in Columbus, our state capital. One was the guy that I believe ran the vehicle into the people at the bus stop.
Yeah.
And I believe and maybe Dan remembers this, I think even before that, there was a guy that stabbed some people in a restaurant, Jewish-owned or Jewish restaurant of some sort in Columbus area. Do you remember that, Dan?
That was a machete attack, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and that was right here in Ohio, and Somali groups. And, you know, and Debbie, you had mentioned something earlier, too, about some of these how some of these Somalis are coming into our country. And you mentioned with the Lutheran Church and their some of their programs. And as a pastor, this is something that I'm very concerned with, and I know that Dan is very concerned with it. In the local Act for Ohio group here, they're concerned with this as well. The church involvement. You know, you would think that as pastors, that churches would understand that we're called to be watchmen. You know, the Bible talks about us being watchmen and speaking up for what's right and trying to present the gospel to people, and yet we see that various groups, church related groups, denominational groups, and such are instrumental in bringing large amounts of Somalis and other refugees, Muslim refugees, into this country. What do you see happening there?
I think that was the hardest thing for me to digest. I remember reading Ann Corcoran's Refugee Resettlement Watch blog. Mm-hmm. That was the most difficult thing for me. I would have to push myself away from the computer and allow myself a day or two to realize with the shock and horror that our own, church, but, I was corrected the other night by a pastor who said, these are apostate churches, but our churches have become so apostate mm-hmm. that, yes, the very shepherds that we are supposed to trust are bringing the wolves into the sheep's pen, so to speak. And my spirit trembles for them when they have to stand before our Creator, because they will have been the ones who have taken money to bring the slaughter into amongst God's people.
Well, and when you look at that in our little town of Richfield, just a small town midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm actually born and raised there, so it's kind of interesting that I wound up pastoring in my hometown. But we're out in the middle, semi-rural area, and usually kind of quiet community. But what I find interesting is that we've got this in our community. We've got another church in our community that the pastor there preached a message showing that salvation comes through, he was using Matthew 25, talking about reaching the least among them, the poor and the homeless and the hungry and all that. And he was trying to say that salvation comes when you reach out to these refugees and help them to come here and to transition to life in the United States. And as a pastor and responsible for a church, I just can't go along with that, because that's so contrary to the Word of God. Yes, we should be reaching these people with the gospel. Yes, we want to see them delivered from what I openly say is a false religion. But bringing them here and making money at it and then not trying to reach them with the gospel, I just can't see how biblically based churches can be a part of that.
Yeah, well, it makes you wonder how biblically based
right.
they really are.
Well, I think the pastor you're talking to that said that they were apostate churches was onto something.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I got something to interject there.
Yes, Dan.
There's the proof in the pudding. They'll take the dollars from the federal government
yes.
to bring these people in, but will they witness to them?
Because right.
they're not allowed to. That's part of the preconditions set forth by the State Department, that they are not allowed to proselytize. However, that doesn't mean that they can't form some sort of group within the church, and that would join a program like the Crescent Project or something else where they train people to witness to Muslims. So, it's, in other words, they can't have it both ways.
Well, I do know that the Interfaith Dialogue Movement, which a lot of these groups are a part of, it's even in those policies that they're not allowed to proselytize.
Absolutely right.
The goal is to seek common ground so that we can all just get along and then there'll be world peace. But what they don't realize in that finding common ground is that basically they're having to, it is a means of dislocating them from their faith, because they're allying with a group, an ideology that denies that Jesus was the Son of God and denies that Christ was crucified and raised again. So when so all of it is just propaganda that we've been fed, unfortunately, for many years. But for anyone that really takes the time to research and learn the specifics and the details, then they can't be so easily deceived by the enemy.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm seeing, is that there's just this great deception. Another quote from Michelle Bachman, just that God is so good, he forewarns before calamity. But she also said that, and I'm struggling with my mind here, let's see. She called it deception. There's another word. That when somebody rejects truth, that they live in this altered reality. And I think that's, what's the word that I'm
delusion.
Trying to think of?
Delusion.
Delusion, yes.
Yes, and I was, you know, that isn't a word that we hear every day. And so I had to look it up and think about it. But it's so logical that when we do reject God, reject truth, truth with a capital T, then we do walk in deception and delusion. And I just thought that made a lot of sense. And I think that, unfortunately, the American people, we've just been fed a whole lot of propaganda, and unfortunately, a lot of it's come through our churches. But this has gone on for decades, is what I'm learning, going back to the Frankfurt School of Learning and when they came over to the United States and the whole Marxist movement and its infiltration into the churches.
Well, and actually, it even goes on beyond that. If you look in the late 1800s, and I just throw it out here, we won't have time to get into it, but the rise of what they called the German higher criticism and rationalism that came into mm-hmm. the churches at that time, where they just simply denied the Word of God. And, that's another topic for another day. But, yeah, it's a battle we've been fighting, and we are involved in a spiritual battle here. It's more than just a conflict of world religions or worldviews. It's a spiritual battle, and this is a manifestation of it in the day in which we live. Unfortunately, we're about out of time here, and Debbie Anderson, I do want to thank you for being on the program with us today. Unfortunately, I will not be able to be at the meeting on Sunday. I have a nursing home service at that time. Few responsibilities as a pastor, I guess, but and we've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to get Dan in here to give the information again, but what will you be talking about at the program on Sunday?
So I'll be talking about the Islamization of Minnesota and the consequences of it, and then our grassroots work and the effect that we're having, and just about the captured state of Minnesota. And unfortunately, it's progressing to the point where the Muslim Brotherhood is actually trying to overwhelm our caucuses and right down to the grassroots level. And
wow.
Really a call to Christians and to we the people that we must rise, reclaim our civic duties and responsibilities of self-rule, or we will be ruled by the not-so-benevolent. So it's really a clarion call.
How true, how true. Dan, real quick, give out that information if somebody wants to come.
Yes, email me at info@actforohio.org. People should also realize this will be our last Sunday meeting of the year. We go back to normal Monday nights at 7 o'clock the rest of the year.
All right. Well, Dan, hope the meeting goes well. Debbie Anderson, thank you for being with me today, and God bless you and your work there. It's not an easy job, and I'm just thankful that you're willing to stand in the gap and appreciate all that you're doing there. We're out of time today, folks. Thanks for listening, and join us next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.